Okay, great. Has anyone ever, well, first of all, Pastor Dennis's message, okay, just think about it for a second. How would someone sum it up with one word? Does anybody think like that? I do. Good. Right. Like the opposite of your own reasoning is actually, I thought of the word obedience, right? Or trust. It's actually just absolutely the opposite of leaning on my own understanding. And does anyone need to be delivered from that? Yeah. I know. No. Put your hands down. Let's all just take a nap for about 5 minutes here. Yeah, take a nap. Okay, just lower your shoulders a little bit. Anybody just drop their shoulders? Oh. Take a nap. I'll wake you up in 5 minutes. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Now, this again, like to hear God in our lives, like we want to hear it, not just the first time, but the second time, right? From the Holy Spirit. And like now, like, does anyone need to be? Now, think of your life. You want to be delivered from that. Like, think of your life, and think of the power of God. Like maybe, yeah. This. And I want to be delivered from my own understanding. And I want to obey. You know, he says, I've been fishing 10 years for a solution. No deliverance. But I drop my own understanding. And nevertheless, at thy word. And I obey. Let's believe God like that. Like, this is Pentecost. Okay? And then, you know, like, what is in your hand, Moses? What's in your hand? It's your natural strength. It's your own understanding. You're a wise shepherd, but you're so wise as a shepherd, you're foolish in my ways. Right? Could that be in my life? Wait, don't look at anybody else. Look at yourself. Could that be in my life? Yes, it could. So throw it down. Throw your own understanding down. And then grab the serpent. Now it's a serpent. You realize how dangerous it is. God gives you a revelation how dangerous your own understanding is. It's lethal. It'll bite you. It'll kill you. You get a revelation. If you go down that path, it leads to darkness. And God says, in obedience, God says, pick it up by the tail. And in obedience, we pick it up. And now, it's a staff that I use to part the Red Sea. So, like, that's the transformation that happens in our lives. That's how God works. That's how our God works. So, and take something else. It's, look at this. Look at, like, this is how mission starts. It's by thinking with God. It's like having personal revelations of God. Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Peter had a great understanding of the Jews. Pentecost came and 3,000, 5,000 were saved because he's preaching to Jews. You could say in one sense that's easy. That's his own understanding. I know it's Pentecost, but when you compare it to Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, he's in Caesarea. Caesarea is where, didn't we go to Caesarea? We went to, on the coast, we went to Caesarea on the coast. Yeah. A huge harbor city, huge, had a huge harbor. This is where. And Peter is at, it's Simon the Tanner, Simon the Tanner's house. It's like, anyone ever smell Chris Mitchell come in from the field? It's like Chris Mitchell on a dirty day on steroids. You know what I mean? After he's milked the cows and fed the pigs, okay, and spread the manure on the field, okay. That Gloversville, you guys been to Gloversville, right? Okay, you know what Gloversville's like. He's at Simon the Tanner's house, and it, like everything is unclean. What Simon's doing is probably unclean, and he's like he's around this like this incredibly unfamiliar territory in his life. It's just like, you know, he's not with the Jews, like, yeah, that's my religion, my people, everything I'm familiar with. All of a sudden, he's in a strange place. And he was hungry. They weren't feeding him. He went up the top of the roof. And he was in a trance, and God did a, you know, he saw this sheet with the unclean animals going up and down three times. He didn't really understand it. Like that's missions. You live in a mystery. Like God is miraculously changing your life, and you don't understand what he's doing. You just feel like, you think he's preparing you for something, but you don't know what. You can't even define it because it's happening in your heart. You feel it in your heart. And then, you know, Cornelius had the vision the day before the guys arrived, the three guys arrive at his door. Paul's like in such a mystery of obedience. Like he listens to these guys and like, maybe this is going to put it together. He lives in such a mystery, like, hey, maybe, like, you know, one little conference is going to put something together, and you start to live in maybe one service, you know, maybe one missions march, you know, maybe one visit to a country is going to put it together. Maybe me giving sacrificially is going to put it together. You know, it's like, this is these little bitty steps. It's like, you're just saying, like, God, like, add something in my life in terms of your heart towards people. So I understand your heart. Missions isn't my heart towards a country. It's God's heart towards people, right? And so, Peter was taken there to Cornelius' house, and he just starts, Cornelius tells him he sent some people, and he starts preaching to a Gentile, a Roman, an oppressor, a guy he should hate. You know, Bosnia, a Muslim man that gets saved preaching to the Serbian Christian, or a Serbian Christian speaking to a Muslim, you know, in Bosnia. You know, what is it in Turkey? It's the Turks and the, what's the other, huh? No, the Kurds, right? It's a Turk preaching to a Kurd with hatred in his heart, preaching to a Turk. Like, these are the lines that God has the ability to cross over in our hearts, where we don't lean on our own understanding. And then before he finishes, just imagine this, like, just like Genesis chapter 1, like the moving of the Spirit, just the in it's a Acts chapter 10, just where before he, like, the Holy Spirit just drops down and fills their hearts with the love of God. Because Cornelius was this devout man somehow, like, seeking God. Because, you know, the barrier has been, is crossed over. It's been broken. The veil's been torn. There's nothing between the Jew and the Gentile anymore. Salvation is by this amazing new covenant. The old one has passed away. And Peter, he needs a miracle in his life to believe how gracious God really is. Takes a miracle in our hearts to believe how gracious God is. And this happens, I was thinking in Ecclesiastes, it speaks about chapter 2, it speaks about the little foxes. It's like, God, take them out of my life. Because you know what? They want to get the little bitty grapes, because they want to destroy the vine. They want that little bitty fruit that you're starting to, like, sense in your life. The little fruit. We don't have to be these old, like, you know, these vines that kind of, like, pop, these old, you know, barky vines that produce no fruit our whole life. Why does that have to be us after 30 years in the ministry? Barky vines that have a few leaves on them, right? Why can't we be this tender, vigorous vine? We're not saying the same thing we used to say. We're brand new every day. There's no mote in my eye. I love what you said about the lady last night with praying for her. That's amazing. Like a mote was in your eye. And like in the middle of a service, he just stops and says, a mote was in my eye. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to pray for this lady. The Holy Spirit just came in and said, you're judging. You got a mote in your eye. That's why you have a successful ministry. It's really true. It's why he has a successful ministry. You can't find a mote in his eye. There's no secret motes in his eye. It's amazing. I was like, I said, I got to pick your brain. But I'm trying to ask, like, why is he like that? But there's no motes in his eye. Right? Isn't that right? Like honestly, everybody in here came in with a mote in their eye. You judge somebody in the church or something. I mean, honestly. You know what I mean? You have a hard time with somebody. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. These motes can come out of our eyes, We can see clearly with the love of God. You minister in grace. The grace that he believes he ministers in. I mean, this is church planting. And you treat somebody with, you administer grace without your own understanding also, right? You administer grace without your own understanding. You just don't preach, but you actually administer that type of grace. What does Psalm 127 say, like the last two verses? 5 minutes are up. You can come up from your nap, okay? 139, the last two verses. Jenny. 139. I said 127? I did? Just being obedient. Yes. 139, 23, and 24. Like these little foxes, my thoughts. I think that's like casting down my reasoning. You know, when somebody says, God told me to do this, when you're counseling someone, it's usually like, that's the big red flag. It's like a lot of red flags go up. When someone, you know, it's like, how can you argue? Do you know what I mean? God told me, you know, God said this to me. And they're coming in for advice, but they really don't want advice. They just want to tell you what God told them. And it sounds really strong. I counseled someone recently that said that and just, and the way they went to God's mind was so beautiful. After that person said that, I was like, he was like, lead me in the way that's everlasting. There was like this repentance or this, you know, like, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And he was so thankful. It was amazing. And I know he's going to have little fruit turn into big fruit. And he's a tender vine. And he's not going to become old, a barky vine with leaves on it. So if you're saying, like, how do you start missions in your heart? I think that's one way is, like, have some victories with little foxes in our lives, because it really gives you confidence towards the nature of God in your life. Because you won't become an actor in the church. You're going to have a personal revelation of God in your life when you let the little foxes be dealt with in your life. I mean, isn't that a missionary? Is a person who is worked upon by God. You know, you just, my 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay. I mean, you know, like, you know, testimonies of money, like I'm just in my own heart. I mean, this is just a testimony. He asked if we give testimonies, I didn't give one. But maybe I wish I wouldn't say I, but I did, so I will say it, so I won't stop. But now, giving. I want to think about sacrificial giving. I want to think about being a part. And I don't even necessarily mean money. But I want to envision, can we get that map back up there again? I was thinking of money, but I don't want that to be the only, like I want to think of, you know, I want to see faith, I want to see the Hewletts prosper here. Like I want to put a picture in my mind, maybe see, they call them bazaar squares or Renux squares. And, you know, they're going to find an apartment. And then the other dentist is coming over in October with his family. But I just want to envision through prayer in this city, God prospering their work. But God prospering in Pastor Dennis's life and Jane's life here. And Christ being formed inside of them miraculously. Like the message he preached tonight, he's going to desperately need when he's here. He's going to desperately need that. And we can, you know, we can use that as our prayer message for him in Schroeder. Yeah, that's our prayer message for him here. You know, you put a picture of that in your mind. You know, they're, what, 7 or 8 hours ahead of us, seven? There's only six there. Okay, 6 hours ahead of us. So, you know, get a picture of that. So, in other words, right now they would be in bed. And when you wake up in the morning, you know, he would be preaching his Sunday morning message. You know, like get a picture of that happening, okay, in your mind. You know, and how they live. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Let's take pictures of them in our, you know, in our mind. And we see the Adriatic Sea. We know they're close by it. There's that freshwater lake. And they're in that area there. And we're praying for them. I mean, I said I wanted other people. Oh, I was going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, right? My wife and I, we were in debt $10,000 three times in the mission field in 10 years, and God was faithful. And somehow, by the grace of God, we stayed there. And we believed it was God's work. And you stay there, like trusting God, and you find a faithful God. And you cannot lean on your own understanding. When your kids want a 25-cent candy bar, and I don't mean missions is all about being poor, but it's like trusting God. They want a 25-cent candy bar, and you say no because you don't have any money. And then maybe later you start to actually go into debt because you believe you're supposed to be there. But you say it because God's going to be faithful. But and God is so able. And we can say that. Let's say that to our storms in our life. But this is verse 9. Verse 9, 1 Peter 5, 9. I mean, 8 is about the adversary, the devil. There is amazing warfare when you want to take the grace of God to a place, and when you want to open your mouth and speak messages like that, there's warfare against you. Right? There's warfare. Okay, and we resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Somehow that was super comforting to me when I was in Germany. But then this, the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory. His eternal glory. That's the work of God in a missionary. God's eternal glory. I don't mean a missionary. I mean us. Us. The beautiful people that labor here. There's an eternal weight of glory. Like, this is why God is, he's just trying us. God tries us just so we'll go deeper in trusting his love towards us. That's why we have these trials in our life. God wants to go deeper in our life with trust. The God of all grace has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, that suffering is so amazing. Don't abort that suffering, that trial in your life for anything. Whoever you are here tonight, that suffering is so precious. Because there's a fellowship in suffering with Christ. He will be faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when we're not faithful, God will remain faithful. Okay? And he will, if you suffered a while, and he will make you, remember that make last night in Genesis chapter 12? Remember that? What was this? According to his, like, moral purpose, this high, incredible standard of God. This moral purpose of God, like to bring glory to us. I can't believe God can make something in me. Wow. Shall make you perfect. It's probably the word hagios, holy. Establish and strengthen you and settle you. Man, you have a perfect foundation and you know what direction you're going. That's, and you have this confirmation. I mean, it's like going to Pastor Moore's house from here. The first time was, you know, I didn't really know. The second time, I thought I was even smarter than the GPS. You know, I made some mistakes, but I was smarter than GPS. But, you know, like, eventually, like, I would get, like, his kind of confidence about the road to his house. And that's how confident God makes you in something so unsure. He establishes you like that. Like, you know his ways, and you're trusting his ways. So, yeah, that's the amazing work of God in church. I'm going to call it church life. It's hard to say missions with great people like you here. So, Father, it's 9 o'clock, and we thank you for this amazing work that you do in us, God. You establish us, God. God, you put a foundation under us. You give us a direction, God, and we know it's so confirmed by you. Thank you. Thank you for all your work. We pray for this church, God, in missions. Maybe there's somebody here, you know, they just say, I want to start by, you know, saying to the foxes, you can't have at my vine. I want to have fruit. Just bless this church, God, we ask, in terms of their vision for the lost, for the world, God, for the church right here. Bless this pulpit, we ask, Lord, we pray. Bring many more people. Bring many more people. Bring them to Bible school and send them off, God. However you want to do it, God, we thank you. We thank you for this amazing, miraculously used ministry here, God. God, thank you for the people that are so willing to give and to sacrifice here. Bless their family lives, their personal lives, God. We ask a blessing super abundantly. Throw it like farther than it's ever been thrown before. Exceedingly, God. Exceedingly. Throw blessings in their life exceedingly. Like way beyond what they could ever ask or think, what they could imagine. Throw the stone further, God. Larger places. Thank you, God. Pray for the Hewletts, both families. Lord, that this message that Pastor Hewlett spoke tonight would ring in their lives as they prepare to go, God, and give them the confidence to continue in this vision. And we pray for a church in Schroeder. Is that how you say it? Schroeder. Okay. So in Christ's name, amen.